Thank you so much, Anna. And we are going to right now turn our attention to God's Word. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to introduce Ken and lead in a prayer for him and the message of the Word today. Ken has asked that we read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. So let's give attention to the Word of the Lord and ask God to help us to apply this to our hearts today. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Brother Ken, it's a joy to have partnered with you and Debbie for all these years. And it's a joy to welcome you to Trinity today to share the Word with us. And we want to just assure you we are standing behind you in prayer and support and however God leads and guides us to help in this new endeavor of returning to Japan. And it's an adventure. It's inspiring that you guys have said yes to God. And we hope that not only as you, by your lives, represent that willingness to follow the Lord, but that our hearts will be ready to receive what God has brought through you today. So Ken, please come and share. Let's give him a hand. I'd like to just lift up a prayer for Ken and Debbie, can I? God, I just thank you for Ken and Debbie for their faithfulness to you. Lord, it's a joy for us to have been part of this journey with them and support and seeing how Japanese-speaking people have been reached and discipled and sent out. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do that work in a mighty way as they are redeployed to Japan and have answered your call in faithfulness once again, God. So may your grace and blessing rest on them. Provide for their every need. Give them peace, Lord. We trust in you, as we have sung, and we continue to do so, and we entrust them to you. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, it's really great to be here. I keep a record of where I preach, and I've been doing that since seminary days, actually. And I was kind of shocked to realize I've never preached here. And I think part of that is because Pastor Bruce understood that we had a ministry that involves Sunday mornings and we needed to be there. And it's usually hard to find people who can interpret into Japanese, etc. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to, after 30 years, have the opportunity to preach this morning as well, too. My name is Ken Milhouse, and my wife is Debbie, and as you've heard, we've been doing ministry among the Japanese for many, many years. For me, it's a lifetime. I'm a missionary kid. I grew up in Japan. I was there from just before I turned 3 through high school, and so my wife will tell you we have an international marriage. She says he looks American, but inside it's a little different, and so it's been a privilege to be supported by you as well, too. And the first thing I want to say is thank you for 30 years. This is one of our initial supporting churches, and you've been part of it throughout the 30-plus years now. So, and there's already been a commitment to continue to work with us and partner with us as well, too. And we're thankful for that as well, too. We've been doing Japanese ministry in Boston for 30 years. Those who don't know, we've been reaching out to people who come here to study, do research. They come with their families, they're individuals that are homesick. We've reached out to them. Many Japanese people are more open to the gospel when they're outside of Japan for a variety of reasons, some which you'll hear over in the booth if you want to come and hear about that. But so we've been able to reach to them in their heart language, and many have become Christians, others, seeds have been planted, but they all go back to Japan. And that's been part of our ministry. It's interesting, for 30 years, we would go to supporting churches and they'll say, "Now, when are you going to Japan?" And every time we said, well, we're not. We're going to stay here and keep reaching out to the Japanese. And, well, I guess there was a reason all those people were asking us when we were going to Japan, because God finally said, okay, now is the time you're going to Japan. So that's where we're at right now. We're in a transition situation. And it's been a journey, especially these last 2 years. And normally when I preach, it's usually more expository, usually one passage for the most part. But I wanted to share with you today how our journey happened, if you will, the last 2 years in our ministry, in our lives, and the way in which God has changed things for us. 2 years ago, August 10th of 2023, our landlady passed away, and there's a whole story behind her and her family, which I don't have time to get into, but the Lord brought us to the best place, the best, first of all, landlord, and then his wife, who became our landlady when he passed, and it's because of them that we were able to stay in the same place for 30 years, and it's just amazing. It's God brought us there, and God kept us there, and we thought we'd be there until it was time for somebody to take my place, if you will. But she passed away August 10th of 2023, and her daughters had promised to their mom that they would let Ken and Debbie and the church stay. But after she passed, they came to us and said, listen, we really don't want to be landlords. We just can't do that. And so they told us that they were going to sell the building. Now, some of you know Union Square in Somerville. Green Line came in 2 years ago. Property is like, phew. So it's amazing how much that property is worth now. But anyway, we had this fall 2 years ago, right at this time. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what our future looked like. We were seeking as a church, but also Debbie and I as a couple, Lord, what's happening here? What do you want us to do? And so what I want to do is sort of share the process that we went through during that fall of time, which was a real time of prayer for us. We were just praying. And the passage that the Lord led us to was from Psalm 32:8. The Lord spoke these words to us, both as a church and to Debbie and I. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Interestingly enough, the you in that passage or in that verse is actually plural in the original, even though most of the psalm is individual. But that was the word we got. And out of that passage, and especially the Japanese version of that passage, we came to a phrase, Lord, guide us. And that kind of became our primary phrase that we were praying through that fall of uncertainty about the future. We hadn't really been in a lot of communication with our landladies, but they had people come through the building, and we knew they were deciding to sell it, so we didn't know. But through the process of saying, Lord, guide us, we were led to some other passages of Scripture as well, too. And they were kind of seminal into what happened with us. We learned a lot about what it means to pray, Lord, guide us, and also what it means to then, if we're going to ask that, what we need to do in response. And so the basis of this message actually started with the New Year's Day service we had in 2024. So this is a half a year after we heard that they were going to sell. Now, when you guys have a New Year's Day service, right? No, that's the most important holiday. Don't you know that? We always have a New Year's Day service. That's because that's the day the Japanese people feel more religious than any other day. And since they can't find a Shinto shrine nearby, and there is one little Buddhist temple in Newton, but forget about that. You know, there's not really a Japanese Buddhist temple. So, hey, let's go to that Japanese language Christian church. So, That year, after having gone through the Advent season, after having gone through the fall of praying, Lord, guide us, there was a sense where in this new year, we don't know what's going to happen, but this is the sense that I got through prayer and that Debbie and I got as well. We were given, first of all, this passage that was read for us from Genesis chapter 12. It's a wonderful passage of the relationship between Abram at the time and God. God called Abram, asked him to leave his comfort zone, right? He was to leave his hometown, leave his parents and siblings and go to a place the Lord would guide him to. Now that phrase, guide, I will show you, is kind of interesting when you look at another passage I'll bring up shortly. But the Lord, you know, said, I'm going to send you to a place, and so I want you to leave everything behind and follow me. And there were some great promises there. The promises had implications, of course, for Abram and his family. But actually, it's much bigger than that, right? It's all the nations. The whole world will be blessed through you. And that has implications for us as well, too. So he was willing then to follow the Lord's guidance and take the steps that are needed to do. And if you look closely at that, even though it doesn't say specifically, it seems like there's no hesitation. It's like, okay, God. And he just follows. So these are lessons that we kind of learned during this process. But the first thing that we learned after starting to pray, Lord, guide us, was, well, when God finally shows us what he wants us to do, we need to be willing to follow, right? If we say, Lord, guide us, and say, well, but I don't want to go that way, we're not really asking for God to guide us. We're just wanting our own way, and then you don't need to pray anyway, right? So the first thing that we learned as a couple, but as a church, we need to follow the Lord without hesitating when we know what we're supposed to do. Now, in Hebrews 11, which is a passage that has all those heroes of faith, right? Abraham is there prominent in there. And there's an extra piece of information that the writer of Hebrew clarifies for us that the writer of Genesis kind of just left a little gray. Let me read just verses 8 through 10 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Did you catch that phrase early on in that passage? Even though he did not know where he was going. If you start praying, Lord, guide us, and you're willing to follow, but then God says, okay, follow me. I'm not going to tell you where it is yet. You just have to follow me. Will you do that? Abraham did. That was another lesson that we had. We can't hesitate. We need to just follow. But then we need to follow, even if we don't know exactly where God is leading us, what the destination might be. And that was another lesson we needed to learn. And then through this process, we were led to another passage. And remember, this was the New Year's Day service. So we had just come through Advent and Christmas. And so I'm sorry that this is maybe an off-season reference. Although there's no real off-season passages in Scripture, right? Pastor Bruce, we can preach from the Magi even in September, right? And I guess we kind of cut the corner, so we're getting closer to Christmas now. But it was weird maybe in like May. But anyway, the Magi story. And this is weird because I usually never, ever preach the Magi story. Because it didn't really happen on Christmas, right? It was later on. Sorry, the nativity scene? That's not quite right. Right? So I kind of always avoided the Magi thing. And somehow the Japanese people really liked the Magi thing, but I kind of stayed away. Shepherd's cool. I don't know the Magi. But anyway, the Magi story. And this is, you know, I'm not going to go into who the Magi was because there's all kinds of stuff. Personally, I feel like they had some kind of connection with Yahweh, whether it was total faith or not. I don't know. Clearly, they knew where they were supposed to go. They saw that star. And that star is another thing. What was it? Well, in the original scriptures, it can be any kind of light in the sky, so it doesn't have to be a star. People say it might be a comet. I don't know what it was. However, as I was understanding this, and as I was thinking about it, you know, as a kid, you hear the Magi story, and you kind of like, oh, they see the star, and the star is like really guiding them, and therefore really following. But if you look at the passage in Matthew, it's not quite that clear, and it almost seems like they saw the star. Somehow they knew that it had something to do with the birth of the King of the Jews, which meant that they needed to get to Jerusalem, which is kind of the headquarters of the Jews, if you will. So that's how they knew to go there, not because the star guided them the whole way, but because they knew that it was something to do with there. And then if you read that passage closely, after they meet with Herod, the star appears again. So I kind of think it was like it happened once, they knew where to go, and then through Herod, they got confirmation of where they were supposed to go, which was Bethlehem, and then the star arrived again. And let me just read you a short passage from Matthew chapter 2, 9, and 10 is all I'm going to read. Who would have thought that you would hear about the Magi today, right, in September? This is what it says, Matthew 2, 9, and 10. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. That's where the star guided them. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And later on, of course, you know the story. Herod had said, hey, when you figure out where this baby is, come and tell me so I can worship too. But he didn't really want to worship, right? And they get a dream from the Lord that says, don't go back to Herod. Go a different way and go back home. So they were flexible as well in that situation. And there's two things that the passage in Matthew of the Magi taught us as we were seeking the Lord's guidance and what it means to follow the Lord's guidance. And that was this. One, we need to be open to change when God changes the plan. We need to be willing to be flexible. That's not always easy to do. We thought we would be lifers in Boston Japanese Christian Church. We needed to be willing to change because God was changing our path. And the other thing is this, and this is maybe the most important thing. If we're asking the Lord to guide us, even if we don't know where the destination is, even if it wasn't what we initially thought was the way, even if we have to be flexible, we need to be joyful in the process because the Lord is guiding us. They saw that star and they were joyful, overjoyed. They were joyful in that journey as well too. So as we were praying, Lord, guide us, the process of seeking the Lord's guidance from Abraham and from the Magi, we learned to follow and obey without hesitating. We need to follow even when we do not know where God is taking us, because we need to trust. We sang about trust. Faith is trust, right? We need to be willing to be flexible, open to change when following the Lord, and to be joyful in the process of following the Lord. If we ask the Lord to guide us, we must be willing to follow His guidance. And sometimes it will lead where you did not anticipate. You'll never know what God is going to do. What happened with us, with our Boston Japanese Christian Church, we didn't know that was going to happen for us. When we started praying, Lord, guide us, unexpectedly, first and foremost, for Debbie and I, clearly the Lord showed us during that process that He was taking us out of the ministry in Boston and sending us to Japan. It was like, wait, God, you called us 30 years ago. Clearly you wanted us to start that ministry, and now you're taking us out? But it was clear, and since then we've had confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that this is the right path for us, that this is what God wants for us to do. And so we've had to flex. We've had to change course, and we're in that process right now. And for the church as well too, for Boston Japanese Christian Church, this is a big thing, right? They're losing the only pastor they ever knew. Some of them became Christians and were baptized. This is the only church they ever knew as well too. But they're in the process of finding out what God has for them too. And it's not 100% yet, but I can report that there's a very good chance that there's a church that's going to be willing to house them, host them on Sunday afternoons. And so we're thankful for that. We will continue to guide them until a pastor is brought to them, but we have a very small core that want to continue as Boston Japanese Christian Church. And so please pray for them as they follow God without a pastoral leader. But we've learned that when we do that and when we follow the Lord, God will bless that and confirm, and we've been experiencing that as well too. And for us, it was to leave the Boston work and go to Japan. Over this course, I've come to believe even more than before that praying, Lord, guide us, is not just something to do in times of crisis or uncertainty. It's actually something we ought to be doing every day, every week, every month, every year. And I think it's something as an individual we should be praying, Lord, today, guide me. Who do you want me to talk to? But as a church as well, too. Lord, guide us. It's plural in that psalm passage. And so my challenge to you, both individually and as a church, is to be willing to pray, Lord, guide us. And when you pray, Lord, guide us, remember that you need to, you know, when you know where you're supposed to go, you need to follow without hesitating. Even if you don't know where the destination is, you need to be willing to be flexible and to be joyful in the process, because you don't know what kind of amazing adventure God's going to lead you to if you're willing to follow. And that is my challenge to you as individuals and to this church as well, too. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your continued partnership, and we're looking forward to what God will do through us and through you in the years to come as well. Thank you.
Ken, thank you so much for that challenge. I want all of us to right now move from saying, that was good, to our own heart response and our collective response to the message. And I want to invite the worship team, if they wouldn't mind, to come up here, because they're going to sing and lead us in a song response after I share with you four potential responses for each of you. And then we're going to have a time of prayer. And hopefully every one of us is saying, Lord, guide me. Lord, guide us. One of the things strikes me here is that Ken and Debbie are just a wonderful example of these spiritual principles. But that's not just like, oh, okay, it's cool. They're missionaries. That's cool. They get no. This is for every single believer, right? There are areas in our life right now where God is saying, hey, I'm stretching you. You got to trust me here. I trust in God, my Savior. We're all singing it. Do you? Are you willing to step out and follow when you pray, Lord, guide me? I suspect there are people here who've got big issues in their life, unknowns, decisions to make, direction. I'm not sure. We'll ask him, Lord, guide me in the big life direction decisions. And of course, the biggest decision of all is the decision to accept Jesus and follow him and mean it. And maybe there's somebody here today who's like, you know what? These are really nice people, and they seem to believe this Jesus thing a lot, but you haven't personally trusted him as your personal Savior. That's the biggie. Trust him, and he'll never fail, as we've sung about today. And then maybe some, and I think a lot of us who are part of Trinity, Ken said, pray about everything. Guide me, Lord, to grow. Not just another fall, okay, it's good, but guide me to grow in Christ this fall. Let that be your sincere prayer. And I put small groups there because small groups are a great place Trinity has designed for your growth in understanding, obeying the word, and connecting in community. And we've got so many different times types. There's one for you. When you look at that list that comes out on Thursday, and if you want the pre-list, if you're like, hey, do you got anyone at this time, we can probably give you that today, though we may not have all the details. Ask God to guide you to grow in Christ this fall. And of course, that's not just small groups, but clearly that's one place of growth. And then ask God to guide you in how and where to serve. Are you willing to say yes? Is it like life is about comfort and playing it safe? Abraham didn't do that. Ken and Debbie are not doing that. Kingdom ministry is not doing that. Where is God leading you? If you say, God, show me where to serve, whether it's inside TCC in one of our ministries or outside TCC, God will show you and say yes. Be ready. Be willing. There's a wonderful principle in Scripture about the family, the community of believers. Both 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 speak of the parts of the body. Each one does its part. If you're a believer in Jesus and this is your home, you're a part of this. There's a role that only you can do as a part of the body. Say yes as you pray for God to lead you in how and where to serve. And then lastly, Ken, I love how you brought in the pluralness of it. Trinity, we're so many ways blessed, so many ways celebrating what God is doing, but there's some real needs. And our partners know this. Ask God to guide in His provision for the ministry here. And ask God to guide in His vision for us for 2026 and beyond. We don't want to do church the way we want to do church. We want to do church the way God wants us to do church. We don't want to just say, Lord, here's the things we think we ought to have. No, we want to follow what God says we ought to have. So pray for God to provide for this fall and the response of each partner in that, and pray for God to guide in the vision for what He has for us in the future. I'd like to ask each of us just to bow our heads, go to the Lord, and personally ask Him to guide us, whatever these resonate with you. And then I'd like to lead us in a prayer, asking God to guide TCC as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your many promises which relate to who You are as God, Your faithfulness to us, Your power, Your Spirit, Your Word to guide us. Lord, we ask that You would guide each of us individually. Help us to be open, even when we don't know the details. Help us to follow what You do show us. Help us, Lord, to be flexible and not just looking for what we want or what's comfortable for us, Lord, but to be faithful and watch You work, to be living life in this way of adventure, of letting You use us and grow us and seeing more and more lives impacted by the gospel. Lord, we pray that for Trinity collectively. Lord, guide us. Guide us this fall. Guide us in all the ministry. Guide us in Your provision. Guide us, Lord, in each one doing their part. Guide us in the plans that You have. Guide us in, as we celebrate today and as we trust in You. Lord, guide in all aspects of TCC for Your honor and glory, God. And we pray for that guidance for Ken and Debbie, Your blessing to rest upon all of us and them. And we thank You, Lord. We praise You. We worship You. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.